Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea, that's 85 years old, in case you're wondering, to spy out the land, and brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. This was 40 years. My bad. We're getting to the 85 part in just a second. Verse number 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9. And Moses sware unto that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even said since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And lo, now I am this day 85 years old. Now he's 85 years old. He was 40 years old. Now he's 85. So it's 45 years later. And verse 11 says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then shall I be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we can gain some help from this truth and this story here of Caleb and Joshua, Lord. And just a lot that we can learn from it. And I pray to use what I'm having to preach this morning. And pray that you give me the right things to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I hear that he was 40 years old and now he's 85 years old and he feels like he's just as strong now as he was then, I immediately thought of Brother Don Mowry, because I just went fishing with him the other day and he's 85 years old. Is that correct, Brother Mowry? 85, right? I think he's 85. 85 years old, and I'm sure Brother Mowry feels just like he did when he was 40 years old, right? Nowhere near it, and nowhere near as strong as he used to be. But I will tell you, when I went up to the Maori, we went in his little boat, and he amazed me. We pulled that boat out of his back of his truck, and I was afraid he was going to hurt himself lifting that thing. Oh, I'm fine. He's just like, we're lifting it out of there. He pulls out the big old heavy battery, and I'm like trying to like, no, let me do it. He was just, ah. And I said, wait a second, how did this boat get in this truck? It was in here before. I said, did you lift this in your bike? So, oh, yeah, I got it in here. It's no big deal. I didn't want to bring the trailer because can't trust the wheels. So I got it in here. I said, man, when I'm 85 years old, please, Lord, give me the strength, or at least the mindset that he has, man. 85. But I thought, boy, Brother Mowry reminds me of going through this about Caleb, how Caleb was just saying, I'm just as strong as I was then. When he's talking that way, he's not referring to himself because of, he reminded himself of what he went through with God's help, and he's as strong as he is because of God in his life. I think of where Caleb came from. When Caleb was a baby, when he was born in Egypt. He was born into slavery. And so from being born to being 85 years old in this moment, if you think of where he's come from in his life, you can learn a lot from him. In his life, we don't know much about it except for in his early life when he was young, but we know that he was in slavery and his family, they were in bondage and everything that involved slavery. They didn't really own anything and they were given rations of food. Everything they did was to serve someone else, serve the Egyptians, and they had all these masters and that was his life. And then a man came named Moses. God sends him, you know that story. God sends Moses to them to rescue them, to save God's people out of the land of Egypt. And that happens, and they get to the Red Sea. They get there and there's water, and usually if you get to water, you're kind of trapped, right? You can't really go anywhere. It's not, you're going to go around it. And they get, there's no bridge there. And the people already began to doubt. You imagine Caleb, imagine one of these young boys up here, and they're with their parents, and they hear their parents doubting. And they see their parents doubting Moses. God sent you, now we're here. Like, what's going on? Moses is complaining. And as a boy, Caleb's watching this. He's seeing all this. He's learning kind of what mindset to have. And then all of a sudden, God opens the Red Sea, parts the Red Sea, and they walk across on dry ground. Imagine yourself as a little kid. I mean, as an adult, you see that and you're in a maze. But as a kid, you think you're pinching yourself, right? You're pinching yourself. This can't be real. Nowadays, because this has got to be a movie. All right, this is better than a movie. And these kids, I imagine Caleb walking across on that and then just seeing the fish just swimming right there. Like he could reach in there and touch them. And as a little kid, he's experienced this and he's reminding himself, wait a second, how did this happen? God did this. You can imagine as a little kid, he probably thought it was all Moses, right? He probably thought, as being a little kid, how simple-minded kids are, that, man, I can't believe Moses did this. Like, wow, he's the coolest guy I've ever met in my whole life. I love Moses. But when they get across on the dry ground, they look back, and you know the story. God kills the army, and all that water comes back, and he sees that. That's the first miracle, big miracle, that Caleb has seen in his life. It's not something he's probably going to forget about. But at that time of his life, he was young, probably didn't know, was it God? Was it Moses? What happened here? Seeing his parents, we don't know how spiritual. His parents didn't seem like very spiritual people, but just by looking at all the complaining that they had. So I don't know exactly what kind of parents Caleb had and how strong of Christians they were and how much they taught him and the faith that they taught him to have. But Caleb was watching and Caleb was learning. Just like every kid is watching and learning, they're watching us as parents. Other kids are watching you as adults, and they're watching your mindset. Are you a grumpy person when you come to church? Are you a happy person when you come to church? What kind of spirit? The kids notice it. They don't. You think, oh, they just go around and play. They notice things, and they are watching you. And the men, the young boys, are looking up to you. They look up to you. I look up to Brother Mowry. I text my wife. I'd been in the car with him for maybe 20 minutes. I text my wife immediately, and I said, man, I could listen to Brother Mowry talk for days. I was like, I want to spend so much time. I love hearing him talk. He drove me all around. I didn't know what a stripper pit was. All right, I kept hearing people say, we're going fishing at a stripper pit. And I said, I have no idea what that is. Is that what they call a pond around here, or is that a lake, or is that a river? What is that? And Brother Mowry introduced me to what a stripper pit was. And in case you don't know, that's where the mines were at, and they filled it up with water after they left. And so that was a learning experience for me. And he just said, we got done fishing. He was teaching me fly fishing. He told me, hey, you want to go around and look at some more fishing holes? I said, man, I'm all yours. Take me around. He drove me about all these roads back around and where there was no pavement, where there was no asphalt. And I don't even know how. There was no street signs anywhere. I said, I don't even know if I remember how to get to these fishing holes around here. But I was saving them on my maps and trying the locations and places I want to go. I don't know what this pond or this stripper pit's called, but put a marker on it right there. In case I want to go fishing over there. But I'm thankful for people in church that we can look up to. I don't think you're ever going to get to a point in your life where you never have somebody that you can look up to help in your life. And Caleb had some people like that, but it didn't seem like he had very many of those. But Moses was one of those people he was looking up to. And then he gets to, he sees the parting of the Red Sea. Then they get out there, and all of a sudden his parents start complaining again because there's no food. We don't have enough food. And then all of a sudden they pray, God sends manna from heaven. I mean, just imagine yourself living this time as a kid. It's one thing as an adult, but as a kid, you're just, this can't be real. Like food coming from the sky. Well, wait a second, we're thirsty. It's like they were looking for something to complain about, right? Your kids are like that sometimes. You feel like you're giving them a lot, but somehow they still find some things to complain about. But these adults are complaining to God, we don't have food, Moses, we don't have water. And all of a sudden he gets water from the rock. And Caleb is just seeing all this as a kid growing up. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And then they get to the walls of Jericho later on in his life, and he sees those and how they march around those walls. And we go story after story. I'm only touching a few of the stories. But you get what I'm saying. Moses, from the time he was born to the time he's 85 years old, looking back, has seen a lot. And he has seen what God's done, and now he's faced with a mountain, the Bible says. He's faced with a mountain. I don't know about you, but mountains aren't something I usually look forward to climbing. Maybe you're a hiker and you love doing that, but that's exhausting, all right? That is tiring. But he wanted that mountain. I love his attitude. He said, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. In our lives as Christians, we have mountains that we face, mountains that we don't get to choose what mountains get put in our way. It's not like we get to go and drive to the mountain and pick, I want to go up that mountain. That one seems easier. I'm going to do that. No, God puts them in our path. We've got to figure out how to climb over them. I'm going to ask you this morning, what are the mountains that you're facing? Is it unemployment, debt, disease, depression, danger, abandonment, abuse, tragedy, bills, weakness, rejection, broken relationships, inabilities, addiction, habits, temptations, fears, past failures, discouragement, anger, trials, marriages falling apart? Well, we could go on and on of the mountains that everybody faces. And you know what your mountain is right now that you're facing. Maybe you're facing with a few different mountains in your life. But how do we get through those? Well, I'm going to talk to you this morning about conquering mountains God's way. All right, conquering mountains God's way. Not our way, but His way. What Caleb did to conquer his mountain. I think we can learn from these passages, few verses of Scripture. Well, how did Caleb wanted this mountain? How did he conquer it? Number one, his confidence never forfeited. His confidence never forfeited. Go to verse number 10. It says, "Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He is confident as all get out. And he's 85 years old when you would think at that age in his life, he's done fighting battles. He's done, because the enemy lived on that mountain, okay? It wasn't just, you know, I want to claim it and put a stake in the ground. And this one's mine, all right? No one touch it. There was an enemy that lived there that they had to get rid of, that they had to go to battle. That's the challenge that he faced when it was this mountain that he had to face. But all of a sudden, he was restoring his confidence. He was reminding himself of his confidence. Caleb goes to spy out the land in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 with 11 other spies. You remember that story of, you know, when he goes and spies out the land, and him and Joshua are the only ones that come out with a positive report. You look at that passage in 10 out of the 12. Well, what that tells me is humans are still humans the same today, is most people find the negative and they find why we can't do things for the Lord, and why, instead of finding what we can do for the Lord. 2 out of the 12 said, hey, we can do it. We sing that song. I don't know if you sing it around here, but 10 men went to spy on Canaan, or 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. There was 2 that decided that day, we can do this. God used those 2. If you look in Scripture, you don't really hear about the other ones too much. You don't hear about how God used that spirit. I'm telling you this morning, when you have a spirit of defeat all the time, when you have a spirit of, I can't, my dad always said, can't, never did nothing. You probably heard it before, can't, never did nothing. When you say, I can't, you probably can't. But when you say, I can, you probably can. And with God's help, you definitely can, right? With God's help, we can do a lot of things that we can't do on our own. And I'm glad reading here in Caleb's life, his confidence never forfeited. He said, what he did for me back then, he can still do for me now. I don't care how old I am. I don't care how weak you may think I am. I know with God's help, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Don't allow the circumstances of your life to determine how strong your faith is and how much strength that you have in your life. His confidence never forfeited. Number 2 this morning, his strength never failed. Go to verse number 11. It says, as yet I am as young this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for both war to go out and to come in. Boy, being with Mother Mary the other day, I think he is just as strong as he was when he was 40 years old. I wish I could be that strong. I said, I better not struggle if I'm picking this up. I'm not making no noises, all right? He's lifting this thing up, and I'm doing one arm, all right? If he's doing 2 arms, I'm doing 1. I'm way younger than him. I'm not even half his life yet. But Caleb, his strength never failed. I believe the reason why his strength never failed was because the confidence that he had in God. You see, Caleb and Joshua went to battle, and they went to war with a lot of other people. But the 2 main people we hear throughout these passages is Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. God doesn't make them prominent for no reason. God didn't use them for no reason. God used them because they were 2 young men that decided, man, what I saw God do, if he can do that, What can he not do? And they had a mindset that everything, if we just have faith in God, God can do anything. It sounds like a simple mindset, but it's another thing to put that mindset into reality. It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to actually put action to that. These two young men lived a life that we get to read about where they had a mindset, but they had action to that mindset, and they lived for the Lord, and God used them mightily. It is so neat. I love reading through these passages of Joshua and leading them to all these battles. I love, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible is the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. Like, that is just one of the most bizarre things to, as a leader, you think of your pastor, Pastor Ross, and through the years, things that he's brought to you that, hey, as a church, we want to do this and stepping out on faith. Like, I hope they get on board to follow me and see my vision for this. Imagine being Joshua and going forth to the people saying, well, put all your weapons down, all right? No weapons, nothing that can harm anybody. We want to have trumpets and horns and pitchers, and we don't want anything that can harm anybody. What? You imagine what he had to face. God told me. Okay, yeah, that sounds like something God would do. And you imagine how hard it would have been as a leader to try to convince them. But God used Joshua because his faith, and he never doubted God. Caleb was his right-hand man. They never doubted God. They always had strength because they knew that God could help them conquer whatever it was that came into their way. His strength, Caleb's strength, never failed. Pastor Dirksen, I went hunting with him, with Pastor Ross a few years back, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And we went to, I think I might have told this story before, but I'm going to tell again for the sake of the message because we're talking about mountains. I'd never been hunting for elk before. And we went into Montana, and we had to hike up the very first morning up top of this mountain. And I remember Pastor Ross telling me, like, hey, you know, get in shape. You know, do a bunch of exercises, try to get in good shape for this because it's going to be a good week of just, you know, hiking mountains and stuff. And I was looking at who I'm going with, and I thought, man, boy, Pastor Dirksen's in his 70s, and Pastor Ross is getting older. I'm the youngest guy going. I thought, I mean, it can't be that hard, right? It can't. If they can do it, I mean, I don't work out all the time, but I mean, I'm pretty young. And so I did a little bit of exercises and a few things. But I'll tell you this, I did not do enough, all right? I did not do enough, and I learned that the first morning. And that first morning, I'm going with Pastor Dirksen. Everybody wanted me to go with Pastor Dirksen, so he kind of teach me the way and kind of teach me some things because he knew those mountains better than anybody. He was a mountain man. And so I remember going up with him up that mountain, and we'd go up, and he'd say about every, like, 30 to 45 seconds, we would stop. He'd say, just get your breath for a minute. And the altitude was very high. And he'd say, get your breath for a minute. We'll take a good 45-second break or so, and then we'll go again. And we kept going. We kept doing that. And being young, I thought, you know, it was too easy. And I thought, why are we going this slow? This is taking forever. Like, I'm anxious as well. I've never been elk hunting. Man, I just want to see some elk. I want to see some wildlife. Let's hurry up and get to the top of this mountain. And he was just patience is all get out. And I thought, well, because I'm kind of on his, you know, terms, you know, I can't just leave him behind, so I'm just going to stay with him. Boy, we got to the top of the mountain, and it was not that hard. It was not as hard as I thought it was going to be, and I thought it was, man, this is pretty easy. I'm glad I didn't waste a bunch of time getting in shape like I thought I needed to. And we get done the next morning. They thought, hey, he taught you the way. Why don't you go on yourself this time? You'll go up this mountain. We'll go up here and go up here. And I said, all right. I didn't listen to a word that man taught me. And I just went at my own pace, at my own speed, and all the wisdom that he had trickled my way, I let go somewhere else. And that morning, I am struggling. I'm dying. I'm going up the top higher and higher and higher, and I'm pushing myself as hard as I possibly can, trying to get to the top of that mountain, trying to bull my way through it. I am dying. I finally got up to the top, and it's light, and I'm supposed to be able to get my glass out and start glassing everything. I'm like, just out of shape. I mean, I realized right then how badly out of shape I was. All of a sudden, all that wisdom started coming back. Wait, what did he say? He said, go how slow and take breaths when and get a breather every 45 seconds. All of a sudden, I realized, man, it was way easier yesterday than it was today. I have no clue what I'm doing up here. And that man knew everything. You see, in our life, we don't know how to conquer mountains on our own. We don't have a clue. We think we do. We think we know what's right. We think we know how to make right decisions. We think we have all the scholarships. We think we have all the wisdom because we went to college with our finances and life. We've experienced it. We've lived 40 years. We've lived 50 years. We've got the answers because we've learned. And we make decisions without his help, without God's help. Our life is so much easier when we depend upon him. Mountains are a lot easier to conquer when you give God control. When you let God lead you, when you say, God, how can I conquer this mountain? I've never faced this mountain before. How can I get through this? And you just depend and humbly depend upon him. God will give you the strength that you need. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Chapter 20, verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Romans chapter 8 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nehemiah chapter 4 says, in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpets, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Hebrews chapter 13, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. I'm telling you, the strength that Caleb had is the same strength that you can have this morning. Number three, his memory never faded. His memory never faded. Go to verse number 7. It says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And go to verse number 11. It says, and as yet as I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, his memory never faded. You see, God helps us conquer things in our life. He helps us conquer mountains in our life. But a lot of times as Christians, if we don't purposely remind ourselves of the things God's done for us, the things God's helped us conquer, we forget about them. Raise your hand if you've ever forgot something God did for you. Raise your hand. All right, my hand's up. If I had more than two, I have all of them up. It happens a lot because we don't remind ourselves. And because our memory fades, and because we forget about what God's done for us, when we're faced with something else, we forget to remind ourselves, God already helped us get through something like this. God already helped us get through. Remember back here when we didn't have much faith and we thought, how are we going to make it financially? How are we going to get past this struggle? How are we going to get past this health struggle? Our child has this, or our spouse has a health issue. How? God answered that. And God helped you conquer that mountain. And then you're faced later on with something and you didn't remind yourself of what God did. I encourage all Christians to get some 3x5 cards and write all the promises that are all throughout Scripture that God has promised to us. And write different ones every day. Keep them with you. Every day, read a different promise. And remind yourself of the promises that God says that he will do for us. If you do that, you won't forget what God's done for you. You won't forget the mountains that he's helped you conquer in your life. Caleb reminded himself, man, he parted the Red Sea. He turned starvation into manna from heaven. He turned dehydration into water from the rock. This man had seen a lot in his life. You've seen a lot in your life. If you've come to church, you've been a Christian for very long at all, you have seen God do a lot in your own life. You've seen God do a lot in your family's life. You've seen God do a lot in your friends' lives. You've seen God do a lot in your church. You've seen a lot. But just because you've seen it doesn't mean you always remember it. Remind yourself just like Caleb did. And don't let your memory fade. And lastly this morning, his God never forgot. Verse 13 says, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became an inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You see, God gave him that mountain. God gave him that mountain that he wanted because of everything Caleb did in his life. He reminded himself of what God did for him. He had the strength that he needed because of his faith in God. And God said, because of your faith, because of your belief in me, because you haven't forgotten what I've done for you, I'm going to come through for you. I'm not going to forget what you've done for me, and I'm going to reward you with conquering this mountain. There was a man, Brother Tom Wallace was a preacher, I believe, years ago, and he tells a story about how him and his wife first got married. They went to go become a pastor and a pastor's wife in this small town. And when they went there, they were poor. They had hardly anything. They lived in a small little apartment, and they just were having their first baby. And many of you have been there before. Stressful. And they didn't have hardly any way of making money. Just starting this church out. And he's out sowing. He leads this little white-haired man to the Lord. And he leads this man to the Lord. And because he led this man to the Lord, this man wanted to come and visit his church. So this man comes and visits their church, an elderly man, and he owned a restaurant in town. And he came to church and he visited and he told Pastor Walsh, who said, because you have saved me and you've taught me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven when he die, he said, I want you, he said, I own a very wealthy restaurant in town. A lot of the wealthy, rich people go here and eat. He said, I want you and your family, anytime you and your wife want and you need a dinner or a lunch, anything, I want you to go there and eat whenever you want. It's on us. And he said, your groceries. I want your grocery list and the bill, whatever it is that you, the things that you need in your grocery. He said, my company, we order all of our food from a certain carrier. And he said, I want your grocery list to be a part of our list when we order, so you can come pick them up at my restaurant every week. And Pastor Wall said, no, you don't have to do that. He said, no, you gave me the greatest gift. He said, you showed me how I can accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, the least I can do is to try to give something back to you. You allowed God to use you to bring me something that I had never heard in my life. And he said, I want to bless you and your family. And Pastor Wallace will say to this day, it was one of the greatest miracles of that time in their life they'd ever seen God do, because they stepped out on faith and their God didn't forget them. Their God didn't forget because their faith in him. Listen, some of you are facing a great mountain right now. Listen closely. God didn't promise smooth climbing, but he did promise you're going to reach the other side. Some of you have lost a job or your marriage is going through a rough time. Some of you are facing business failures or business reversals, or some of you are facing mountains of bills. Some of you are going through a time of family illness or have experienced unexpected tragedies like lightning hitting you out of a blue sky. Where is God to allow something like this to happen in your life is something you may ask yourself. But I'm telling you this morning, it's not the end of the world. In time, your heart will heal again. The sun will shine again, and you will sing again, and you will love again. You may think there's no other answer for you, but there's 1,001 answers that God has that you haven't thought of yet. Where do you go when life gives you mountains that are too big to conquer? What do you do when you're faced with these mountains that seem impossible to conquer? What do you do when you feel like you are going under? When chaos reigns and fear tries to throw you off the mountain, what do you do? Well, you go to the one who created you. You go to our God Almighty, our Savior, the one who has blessed your life already up to this point. He is the one that you go to. He is the rock. He is our Savior. God sent David a lion to whip, and then he sent him a bear to whip before he sent him a Goliath. God has you fighting the fights that you're fighting now because it's a fight to develop your confidence. And when you win this one, the next one will be a little bigger, and you'll gain the confidence because of your past victory. And when you win that one, you'll win the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, because God is transforming you into a champion of faith in him. God puts you through a struggle to develop you into who you're going to be in the kingdom of God. My dad has always said, God used no one until he put them through the university of adversity before he used them in the kingdom of God. You will have your adversity as a Christian. It's going to come our way, but you will reach the other side with God's help. God is going to make a champion of grace out of you if you'll allow him to. When you focus on the threat, you'll experience fear. But when you focus on Jesus, you'll experience faith. You say, Brother AJ, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Sing with me now. God will take care of you through every day. Or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. I don't know what the mountain is that you're facing, but I hope this morning that you trust God with your mountain. Everyone wants to win, but some will not have the faith it takes to conquer their mountain. For now, do the possible and trust God to do the impossible. Let's pray. Dear Father, thanks so much for your truth. Thanks so much for stories like this of Caleb's life, Lord, that we can lean on, Lord, that we can remind ourselves what you did back then, you can still do today. But not only, Lord, can we look on, read through the Bible and remind ourselves of what you can do, but Lord, we can look back at our own life. I pray as a family, as parents, that we would remind our kids of what you've done for us. I love it when someone does something for my family because I get to show my kids God did this. God used a person to do this for us. God provided this for us. God did this for us financially, Lord. I want my kids to know that we have faith in you that is strong. We won't forget it. Our memory won't fade. Lord, I want my kids to know that they can have the same kind of faith that their parents have in you. Lord, I pray that they gain more faith than I have in you. But I pray that we would have the faith that Caleb had. All of us are going to have our own mountains that we're going to face. But I ask you, Lord, to help us along the journey to remember what you've done for us and to be thankful for what you've done for us in our life.